The truth of it is that I find in life we're going to worship some. We are always going to worship some. And whether it be God, whether it be money, whether it be another person, whether it be your culture, you're always going to worship something. So
hello, family. You are listening to Concrete Pastures Podcast. I am Nancy Mulemwasisi. Thank you so much for tuning in today. For anyone who is new on our platform, this is a space that allows myself and others to share our stories as we deconstruct the world's view of an immigrant status. We unlock the joys, the laughs, and the bravery that being a dreamer brings. So subscribe, like, share, and stay a while as we dive into today's episode. I am so excited to have our guest today. I'm so grateful to my good friend, Aaron Machano, for this connect. You know, Aaron has been on the show. If you haven't seen the episode, please check it out. It's on business. And today, I mean, our guest, he's the CEO of Holistic Methods for LLC, international award-winning sound expression coach, holistic ukulele retreat facilitator, keynote speaker, and founder. His name is Haji Basim. For the past 17 years, he has embarked on a global journey, enriching souls with his profound and uplifting melodies across temples, spiritual hubs, and vibrant festivals. A virtuoso for over 12 instruments sourced from diverse cultures, his heart resonates most deeply with the ukulele, a conduit for his soulful composition. Listen, we're here to talk to Mr. Haji. How are you, sir?
I'm wonderful. How about yourself?
I am good. You have quite a resume. I didn't even get through the whole resume, guys. We're just going to be diving into it and picking and, you know, getting to know him. So your name is interesting, Haji Basim. Why Haji Basim? What does it mean? What does it stand for? Haji Basim.
Haji Basim. So my parents gave it to me. That's the only thing I can say about it. But my father was a Black Panther in Chicago in the early 60s and 50s. And he wanted my name to have meaning. So him and my mother got together and created Haji Basim. And Haji Basim is Swahili and Arab, and it means mighty voice. And that's what the name, they believe that names you can manifest into your name. And my brother's name is Liu Jelani. And so that means smiling one. So when we were younger, like I was a model, so I always thought they got it mixed up. Like, you know, I'm supposed to be the smiling one. Well, you see this right here? You see this? Take that. But he, for some reason, wanted to become the model, and I started focusing more so on music and become mighty voice. So I just find it so interesting how we manifest, even through our parents, through things that come into our life. So that's where my name came.
I always believe in our names, actually. So even when naming my children, I first didn't want to use anyone's names in terms of like family members that have passed, because that's a tradition, really. Like if someone has passed, you give them that name. So for me, I was just like, we can use other names of people who haven't passed. But names mean a lot. They carry a lot of weight when you name your children. So yeah, it's that's really beautiful. It's beautiful. I wanted to put the name to the face, and then I put the name to the face, and I'm just like, okay. But I see it. I really see it. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, thank you. But of course, you're joining me from Maryland today in the US of A, but you've been traveling all over the world. You've lived in Colombia, I think the last time we spoke.
Yeah, I currently live in Colombia. I'll be going back at the end of next week, actually.
Oh, lovely. So we'll start from there as to what got you, I mean, you are a US citizen and you currently live in Colombia. What got you to leave the US of A, the beautiful US of A that everybody wants to come to, and you decide to go to Colombia?
I feel like I was trying to leave beautiful US of A. You know, you know how they say the elsewhere the pastures are greener? Kind of always want something different. But if I can go back a couple of years, I really spent about 10 years traveling around the world in my youth when I was younger, pursuing my music and touring and playing different spiritual centers and living in different ashrams and on my spiritual journey. So I've been traveling for a long time. But Columbia came about because I had created a business, Help of Aaron, by which we both know. But I created a business and my goal was to move to Columbia to offset some of my expenses because it could be very expensive living in America. So to offset some of my expenses to be able to scale my business. And I have a kind of an online business to where I can meet people anywhere in the world as long as I have a computer in front of me. So that was one of the reasons for Columbia. Secondly, I love to travel. I love to be around different diverse cultures. I love playing flamenco. And flamenco has some of its essence, mostly in Spain, but also in South America as well. And once again, I just love to travel. And I just want to be somewhere that was the cost of living was low and that I could still work and do my business. And it was kind of a more of a business move moving to Colombia.
But I mean, there's so many places that are cheaper that you could live in. Why Colombia?
So at the time, Colombia was one of the only places nearby. You didn't need to have a vaccine to be able to travel. Narrowed down the places that I go to in America. That's been there for like 3 years, I want to say so far. So that was one of the reasons. And then I love the beach. I wanted to be to the closest beach I could. And I had friends that had moved down. And yeah, those were kind of the reasons. And I was getting my teeth done, you know, some veneers and stuff down there. So so there was all those things were moving me in the direction of being in Colombia. Yeah.
Lovely. How have you been able to create a community in Colombia? Because I know like when you move outside the country, it's very hard to integrate if you don't have that support.
Yeah. Well, I find a lot of times a lot of expats have a lot of communal things going on. When I was in Colombia, I was a part of a men's group out there. We were like young entrepreneurs that were going through life and just needed support spiritually and just substantially with each other as being men. And so that was probably my main community when I was in Colombia was connecting them. I would have friends come out and they would come out and stay with me for a little bit of time while I was there. So that was part of my community as well. And then my online community that I created, we interact at least once a week with each other through different challenges and meetups that we have. So that was kind of base of my community while I was there.
Lovely. What advice would you give someone who's thinking to go to Colombia? Because, you know, I just interviewed actually a lawyer. He was born and raised in Colombia and he's now in the US of A. But you are on the other side. What advice would you give someone who's thinking of going and, you know, leave like you have?
I would tell them to not do what I did. I would tell them to learn Spanish or some element of Spanish because I don't know any Spanish. I take that back. I can get around. Like I can go to the bathroom. I could order food pretty much. And, I've always been an adventurer. I've always been like a traveler. So wherever I am, I'm there for the adventure and it usually unfolds. Even if you don't know the language, you can still like understand body language because we all kind of have it based upon the culture that you're in. So that's been an adventure. The first thing I would say is learn the language or learn something about it because it will just help out with process. And secondly, to be in Colombia, Colombia is a beautiful place, but the most beautiful thing about Colombia are its people. And the more time you spend with them, the more you start to understand and get this, that there's a richness that's there. And a lot of people go there for the party. Like there's a lot of party element there in Colombia.
Yeah.
But that's not my thing. But people there were really like the families they had there. I would meet friends there that speak a little bit of English and they would take me to their homes and I would just hang out with their families. That's all they did, just hang out. And it's such a beautiful connection with that culture that I come to find. And Colombia's beautiful. For those that are going there, I would say to travel. Be sure you travel. It's not expensive to travel around Colombia and see different parts because it's very diverse. The terrain and just how it is very diverse. It's just a beautiful place and it's not that expensive to live and to move around. So I guess that's what I would say to someone moving to Colombia.
Lovely. Thanks for sharing that. I want to get into what you do. When was the passion of music discovered in you?
Sure. So I'm going to take it way back for a moment. When I was growing up, like around 3 or 4, my mother would dress me in those little ties to go to church, and little bow ties to go to church and walk around with a short phone. And I remember that one Sunday morning, I was sitting in church and it was these hard wooden pews we were sitting on. Two deacons stood at the front of the pulpit and they began to open the Bible and they read a verse from the Bible that says, "I know love is free." And then automatically and intentionally, the congregation.
I love singing.
Mm-hmm, the congregation would echo that same verse, but when they echoed and sang, they sang from a place of their passion, of their belief, their faith, even their doubts, but they sang, "I know love." And that was my first experience of dealing with the sacred and sound. And that moment, those moments catapulted to me into what I'm doing now with my life and how I'm serving and helping people to connect their own ability to express themselves and to share from a space that's authentically within them. So that's my business. But before my business came, I was starting on really just connected with musical instruments. I play 11 different instruments from all around the world. And I've traveled to these places like India, Japan, Holland, Australia, and just learned, sat at the feet of some really amazing teachers along my spiritual journey and learned how to play these instruments and learned the intention behind these instruments. And I started touring around the world, playing a lot of spiritual festivals and bars, synagogues, and festivals just all around the world and really building my fan base that way. And then COVID happened, and then things had to switch around a little bit. I had to move more into my entrepreneurship. And that's when I ran across Aaron is a mutual friend that we have.
Yeah.
That I met him in Australia many years ago and then met him in Bali. And then when the beginning of COVID happened and everything kind of started to get locked down, he was creating an incubator for young entrepreneurs or entrepreneurs just beginning their path. And I was just starting the path of entrepreneurism. I was very much so a hippie artist for most of my life and really didn't want anything to do with business. I really was in the creative flow and starving artist, except I was hungry. I like to eat, so I couldn't be a starving artist too long. So I had to focus on where I'm gonna get this money from. And I wanted to double down on my passions. And I believed on double downing on my passions. So I focused on how to create ways for me to help people connect their ability to write songs, to connect with instruments, to express themselves. And eventually what I'm doing now is helping people how to create businesses that allow them the freedom to travel, to turn their passions, their skills, their wisdom into offers that offer transformation. And I think that it's a passion project. So those are kind of what I'm doing in the world right now in regards to my business.
That is amazing. I know you're connected to the ukulele. You play 11 instruments. Why the ukulele? Why are you so connected to it?
So for two reasons. This ukulele that I got maybe 10 years ago, I went into a used music store and I just wanted to learn how to play a new instrument. And it kind of, I walked around a corner in the back of the store and then this gleaming light drew me towards it. So I, walked towards it and it was a ukulele and it was sitting in a case. And I was just like, and so I picked it up and I started playing it. I didn't know what I was doing, but it sounds so great. So I started to play and connect with it. So that's the first thing. Second thing is that with playing music, I'm a large black man. And you don't see too many large black men playing little bitty ukuleles and rocking out on them. So as a musician, as far as for the presentation of what I was doing, I was really drawn towards playing the instrument and showing how versatile it is. And also within my business, I felt like the ukulele was one of the easiest instruments to play. So I would use that instrument to help people connect with their own musicality. I would help them to connect to writing their songs and instruments. So I kind of became a marketing thing, a package that I was doing, putting out there that would help in the different areas that I was doing my work in my profession. So,
do you teach people how to play instruments? Thank you for that.
Yes. I focus on the guitar, ukulele, piano, and an instrument called the 505 loop station. It's a loop station that allows you to loop your voice to create just symphonic, amazing things just from your own voice and your own creativity.
Gotcha. I mean, there's a lot of, I have so many questions for you. So there's entrepreneurship and there's a spiritual journey. So I want to start on the spiritual journey. There's so many people that are, these days, it's such a common thing. Everybody is saying, I'm spiritual, I'm this and that. But what does spiritual mean to you? What does that mean exactly? Like, you're spiritual.
And I'll try the best to put words to this, but oftentimes words fail when talking of things of spirit. But in essence, spirituality to me is an awareness of creator and awareness of your relationship. And I bridge that gap through things I read, the meditations that I do, and just the life that I lived. I've lived in India where I studied with different gurus on Hinduism. I've lived in ashrams. I've studied with Osho, lived in ashrams and Osho for parts of my life. Yeah, lots of integrating, living as a monk, doing that actual path for a long time. So that to me is what spirituality is. It's a relationship with yourself, really, because I believe that everything lives as above, so below. Everything lives in us. And that's such an important relationship to build.
The reason why I asked that is, first of all, what's going on around the world. And also, in order to serve, it has to come from a selfless place. And if you don't have a spiritual journey with God, it's just it's something else. It just becomes something else. So I'm always curious for people who come on the stage or whoever I interact with and they say they're spiritual. I just want to know what type of journey, and it's also for all of us to learn as to what your journey is like. Maybe we can draw from it and,
The truth of it is that I find in life we're going to worship some. We are always going to worship some. And whether it be God, whether it be money, whether it be another person, whether it be your culture, you're always going to worship something. So for me, the connecting with and it was set that way for a long time. When I was growing up, my stepfather was a pastor of a Southern Baptist church, as I was saying. He was, you know, singing and preaching and stuff. But my father was a very devout, loving atheist. So from a very young age, I grew up two different parallels of life. And it caused me to have a journey very early trying to figure out what this God thing was, what it isn't. And it took me on this journey to where I am now. And it's unfolded from that.
Gotcha. Thank you for sharing that. So you help a lot of entrepreneurs empower them into, you know, unleashing their authentic voices and embrace abundance. How do you do that for your clients?
Sure. So most of my offerings have some element of spirit, because spirit can bring about change. Because sometimes in moving in a certain way, we can't see what we're dealing with or what's blocking us. And oftentimes I use different practices in my methods for people to answer their own questions, to discover what their own blocks are. If I tell you what your block is, there might be some, no, it's not, and all this and everything. But if you can recognize questioning what your block is, it helps you to identify it and then have the ability to make a choice to choose it or choose something else. So that's the first thing that I'll say. But when it comes to entrepreneurism, I pretty much work with a lot of clients that, most of my clients are women, to be quite honest. And they're looking to infuse their creativity with their business, whether they're using it for their marketing, whether they're using clients, whether they're using for how they're creating coaching or courses. We focus on what their creativity is, how to package that with the wisdom and skills you develop throughout your life. Because we all have some experiences that we've gone through that someone else wants to learn. Now, what I find a lot of coaches pretty much, and that's kind of the realm I'm in, are just maybe a few steps ahead of the clients they help. And if you could find a way to package what you're doing in a way that can transform someone's life, and you only have to be two steps ahead, you can bring value to that person's life. So that's the methodology around it. But I use, well, actually, to be honest, when I started working with Aaron, I started recognizing how much I love system and customer journeys, because I love to hold space to facilitate containers for people to move. And I love that building of one system can build to another system to create a community experience. And that's one of my main passions. So I teach people about system building when it comes to working with business. And that's something that a lot of times most people aren't taught, these systems of how to work them, how to put them together, how they can benefit each other, but also putting them in a service attitude to where you're creating a journey for your customers so that they're able to really go through transformation, be seen, to be expressed, and to express themselves and their business.
Do you mind giving us an example on one of your clients that you've helped and just the systems, how it helped them go through their journey?
So one client, who won't be about something more recent. One of my clients is a very amazingly gifted musician. Like, she sings, she has worked with in other countries with children teaching English. She has worked in hypnotherapy and a bunch of other things that kind of can be lined together. So we worked together. She was really unaware of her own power, her own passion. So the first thing that we did in the system is find out what her values are, find out where she stood in life and what it is that meant the most to her. And then we kind of created a process for her looking out to the rest of her life, maybe 5 years from now, what is she want to bring more into existence? And then she recognized what that was so that she doesn't get there and she's not aware she's there. The next thing we did as far as systems wise was go through her customers, finding out who her customer base is, discovering who the people that she can help and wants to help, because that's such an important thing as well too. And then another element of the system is going over course like marketing and what that looks like, what your voice looks like, how the people that you're offering your information to, how they speak, how they understand certain things. So that's one element of the system. And then getting into the process of the customer journey. And that's where the systems really come to the process, because you have the marketing, which leads people towards what you're doing. And then you have part where you actually are going to sell them on something. And then you have the onboarding process, and really being clear about the onboarding process is where the journey just starts at the beginning, but where the journey just starts to really bring them into your community. And like how you forge that community is where I really focus on, because I focus on like a lot of retaining a beautiful community that you build. And if you can build in a way that people get value from moving through your process, it just allows more of you to show up and more transformation to come about as well.
Oh, I love the value, the future plans 5 years from now. And and client-based, understanding your client's need. And I love that. How's it been going? Business is, you know, something else. You have, I think you've heard from Mashano, as summer days and winter days.
Oh, yeah.
How's it been going?
It's been a journey. I was, most of my attention at the early part of my business for the first maybe 4 to 5 years were focused on Facebook ads, as being 90% of the income I was coming through was going through Facebook ads. And I was doing really, really well for a time. And then about last year and a half, someone hacked my Facebook ads account. And I spent about $3,000 trying to get it back, access to it, and it went away. So that caused me to have to make some decisions. And my choice was to continue doing it. So I've created other relationships, other means of getting leads, along with Facebook ads that I haven't been rebuilding since then. So I'm in the flow of the wave right now. So I'm building back up. I still have a lot of really amazing clients that help support me in my process, and I help support them. But I'm doing new things now that I wasn't doing before because of the fall of my Facebook account. So I'm on the upswing right now with it.
It's amazing what we deem failure, in which I think it's a teachable moment, I call them.
Totally.
Yeah, like we call them failures in our own way, but they come to teach us, and also to maybe we needed that change to change and make some different decisions in terms of how our business should be run, because not everything stays the same. I'm always scared to do Facebook ads and stuff like that. So you're encouraging me to do some Facebook ads. I'll try.
I had a team at first. I had a team that I hired out of California, and we gathered information for the first maybe 3 years. And then it started to blow up. It went right to the people that needed to hear what I was putting. I do recommend it.
Oh, lovely. No, I think I'll try it, because there's some services that we do offer that I just need targeted people. Not everybody, just some targeted individuals that need to get it. So when are you going back to Colombia?
next week.
Oh, lovely. So any plans? Do you do business aside from the online that you do right now in Colombia as well?
No, I don't really do anything in Colombia as far as physically. I do retreats that are in... The last one I did was in Tulum, Mexico, which is a bit far away from Colombia, but I do retreats, and my next one is coming up May. Yeah, the next one coming in May, and that's going to be in the Blue Ridge Mountains of in America, in the southeast part of America, around Atlanta, North Carolina. Going to have one there. And then I'm going to do a retreat next fall in Chiang Mai, and that's set up as well, too. So those are the only physical things that I'm doing right now outside of the community I've created online.
So what are those retreats look like?
So it's called the Holistic Ukulele Songwriter Immersion. And I've been doing this retreat for the last 7 years outside of the little space of COVID. I think 2000 to 2022, I wasn't doing anything. But how that goes is I help people to connect with their musicality. 90% of the people that have come to my retreats have never played an instrument, don't have a relationship with their voice, or have ever written a song before, but they feel inspired to connect over a 3-day period with me, where they discover their ability to write songs, to understand the language of music, which is how we connect music, how you are talking to a band, you just know the language of music, and I make it very simple, very basic. And then I teach them how to turn their personal affirmations into songs. And how that looks is the first day they show up, I pretty much teach them for the first couple sessions how to connect with their instrument through meditation. And meditation clears the playing field because it allows a state and a space to occur within oneself, so they can really connect with their hands, because hand is part of it, your breath is part of it, and the instrument is the next part of it. So once you put those two together, the awareness brought about, you start to make chords. And then I show them what chords are, basic music theory. And then I go into a process of conscious lyric writing, which again, turning one's personal affirmations into songs. And I make it a very intuitive process for them to connect. Then I teach them how to put that together, the song and the lyric and the playing. And then we have space where we share. And I find that's one of the most important processes, is being able to share your artistic expression, and no matter whatever form it is, and have it be accepted and praised, because that will build the inner artist in oneself to want to do more of it, to be seen, to want to express more. And then after that, we've created like a community from that. And then they join my online community, where we have like open mics and showcases, and create space sessions where we connect once a week, twice a week, really, and just have space to just work on your song. Because oftentimes we're so busy and we're looking at our phones all day and like not really focusing. But this is a space to focus in a group setting, but you're pretty much in individual specialized. And then we also have a creative healer circle, which is, people aren't aware that sometimes they have wounds around their inner creativity, their artistry. Like they might have been singing as a child and the mother said, be quiet, you can't hold a note with two buckets. You know, that's what some people say back in the days. You can't sing. And that they take that inside, like, well, maybe I can't sing, maybe that's not my lane. But through the healing process, I take one through, they're able to discover that, yes, I do have a sacred expression that wants to be expressed. It only has to have the time and space to be on it. And then from that, I create brand new things in my life. So that's the process that the retreat's going, and that's kind of what I focus on with the retreats.
That's beautiful. I mean, I've tried meditating. Mm-hmm. It's a work in progress. Sure. Now, I've actually, last year, for the first time I did, I participated in Ramadan, and this year I'm participating as well. So one of my things that I'm doing is I want to actually start meditating again, because it's such, I don't know, the focusing. How can people focus? Because I know it has this benefit. And the only moment of meditating that I do is through prayer. And it's not, I guess, maybe I don't deem it long enough, but I don't know what is long enough. And
the thing I tell my students, or I tell my clients, is start with 5 minutes and there's no end result. Detach yourself from any end result if you levitating or getting some brilliant idea. Not saying it can't happen, but just sit with yourself for 5 minutes a day. And it could be in the morning time or something. And make that as your altar. Make that as honoring yourself. And leave the expectations below. Leave them behind. Just start for 5 minutes. When you feel comfortable, go to 10 minutes. Comfortable, go to 15 minutes. I would say 30 minutes to 20 minutes is a great amount of time. I do for an hour every morning, but 20 minutes is a great amount of time to really get that connection. But once again, I had a yoga teacher friend of mine that he came to ask me the other day, so how's your practice going? Well, I haven't really been doing yoga too much. He said, well, that's your practice. It's not over with. You're still practicing, so that's your practice. Just continue practice. Keep going. So no matter where you are, no matter the level that you do, start with 5 minutes, and that's your practice, and honor that practice because you're doing something in the direction that you desire to. So that would be my response to meditation.
Oh, that's beautiful. So 1 hour of meditation. What are you doing in that 1 hour? It's just in silence. Where is your mind going?
So my mind goes everywhere, but I'm sitting in silence. Some days are better than others, but I'm just sitting in silence. I'm first focusing on my breath. It's the first thing, because the breath will bring you into your present moment. So I'm focusing on the inhale from the nose out to the exhale, inhale, just feeling that. And I just sit with myself. Sometimes I'll play music, like some chanting in the background, but it's just sitting with myself. There's a certain practice called Vipassana, and it's a Buddhist practice of meditation. And it's like kind of like a retreat too. They have it, but it's where you scan your body. Your eyes closed, you're scanning your body for, I don't want to go too deep into it, but you're scanning your body for gross sensations or simple sensations, and just feeling where they are, whether they feel good or feel bad. You're just sitting with them until they dissolve. And that's a very simple way I just explained it, but that's the essence of that kind of meditation. Doing that will make time go by because you're actually doing something with your mind. You're scanning and feeling, and your body's like the ground about which you explore and discover. So that's one of the things I do. And if I'm not doing that, I'm just sitting there. I'm just sitting there allowing thoughts to come up like clouds and not practicing not to hold on to them, allowing them to keep going and just sitting and breathing until I hear the alarm go off.
I think that's my issue with my thought. I'm a processor. So I think the one that you just described, I practiced a few times with Jay Shetty on some of his meditation, and also his wife, Ravi. She has like 5 minute ones. So I'll do like the 5 minute ones where you're scanning your body. And I think I think I get it as to that works for me. I like sitting and being in my head, being that I'm a processor, I'm like, okay, when can I buy groceries?
Right.
I need to go pick up my daughter. So I think my brain goes way too much. 2 minutes, I can do it without going above, but I'll try the 5 minutes I'll try my 5 minutes. I'll work on that one. I think that's where all of us are going with the meditation for an hour. Oh my God. That'll be a miracle.
The trick actually is go back to your breath. Go back to your breath is always there. It's always doing something. There's something happening with your breath. So whatever's going on in your mind, go back to your breath. It'll bring you right back to your moment. That's all I'll say about it.
So what, you just have to be conscious over breathing?
Just go back to your breath. If ever you have a thought going on, just my breath. Oh, there you go. And you're back in the moment again, which is the whole point of meditation, trying to bring you back into the moment. Breath will always do that.
Ah, thanks for that.
Oh yeah, that's big game right there. Okay.
So 20 plus countries. Do you have any favorites?
Bali, without any shadow of a doubt. Bali. I've not been to Africa yet, so that would probably be up there as well. But I haven't been to Africa. I want to come to, where is Aaron at?
Zambia.
I would love to go to Zambia. He used to talk Zambia up a great deal. Bali would be my first from where I've been, and India would be my second because I had such amazing experiences in India. But Bali for sure. Bali. See, I studied some Hinduism and lived I was actually a devotee of Hinduism and I lived in ashrams for many years. But Bali is a Hindu island that's surrounded by Muslim island, and that's kind of how it is. And just it's such a rich place, a beautiful place, and the people again there make that place so beautiful with just how they carry themselves. There's shrines everywhere you go to in the city. It's extremely beautiful. And when I travel, I tend to go away from where the expats are. Like, I like to be in the inn. I like to be where the people are. And I never feel frightened traveling. I always pretty much feel pretty good wherever I'm going to, but I like to be where the people are. But Bali, beyond all, is amazing. When I think about what happiness to me is, it took me years to figure this out, but I recognized it, is me being on a scooter, going through rice fields, my hair in the wind blowing while I'm, flipping.
For anybody listening, guys, he is touching his beard, okay? Hair, there's no hair, bald.
And that to me is happiness. Like, every time I do it, I take a breath, I drive, and I'm just the wind and everything, and I'm looking at rice fields and waterfalls and rock structures. That to me, being in that place, in that environment, is happiness to me. And I found that out over my life. And I found that when I was in Bali.
Beautiful. It's one of my bucket list places to visit. And I can't wait to go and visit. Everybody speaks so highly about Bali and I want to experience it. I can't wait to just experience it. I've seen it in so many ways through people, through my friend, even Aaron, being that he lived there. And it's beautiful. So why, before I even go there, what are you working on currently that you want our listeners, anybody watching this to, sign up for, support you?
So I have been creating and expanding on a community of artists and coaches. So it's called the Holistic Expression Mastermind. And it's a mastermind that has weekly meetups where, like I was speaking about before, we have a song share once a month where we have weekly create space sessions where we come together to create, actually spend time creating on that, whatever that project is that you're doing. It also focuses on the inner circle, which focuses on people really wanting support in their solopreneur endeavors, because being an entrepreneur could be a very lonely thing. And I found that when you gather other entrepreneurs together, you grow so much faster because you learn from their experiences, no matter what level they're on for the most part. You can learn from one another. And that cohesive group of people can catapult, you get catapulted into what it is that you really want to do and have so much more insight. So I found that those groups to be invaluable. So I have that group going on, as well as the more so creative group that focuses on people wanting to connect with and honor their music that lives within themselves. So that again is the Holistic Expressions Mastermind. And I have several other courses that focus on ukulele, on guitar, on voice, on loop stations, on specifically how to create your own offer. One offering I have is called the Offer Creation Course. And it teaches you again how to turn your passions, your skills, your wisdom into an offering that you give to someone, and usually focusing on courses and how to create your course. I have templates that you just follow and you create, and on the other side of it, you actually have a high ticket value offer that you can give to someone after 9 weeks of working with me. So those are what I have coming up so far right now.
Beautiful. Anything else you want to share? I had different questions. Anything else you want to share? Because you've answered most of them along the way.
Good. That can happen. It doesn't always happen like that. Not really. I can't say I have anything else I want to share. I feel like your questions have been very thorough and they've caused me to reach and to find different answers. So I think that, it's your fault. I don't have anything else to say. So thank you for that.
No problem. I mean, you traveled around the world and to many countries, and there's so much experience that you have to, you know, to share with all of us. And it's already expressed, we can't get your whole entire life in an hour or even 2 hours of sitting. But the little bit that you've shared, it shows your experience and the passion behind what you do and how you are enriching others. The job of being of service is so giving. And at this point in your life, do you feel you found your concrete pastures?
I'm finding my concrete pastures. Part of my concrete pastures is the community that I've built. Because, like, again, service to me is one of my values. And it's one of the most important things to me because that's just how I'm built. I usually can always see the light in something. And that's, be it a fault or be it a gift, is what I have. And I can always, I'm an encourager. That's my purpose. So aligning that with my business that helps connect people with their creativity, which I'm all about creativity, and also that helps connect people with turning their passions, their skills, and their wisdom into actual offerings and changing their life completely as they now they're not having to work the same way. Those things to me give me such fulfillment. Yeah. So I think my concrete pastures are being created as we speak right now. And I know that the best is yet to come.
Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Listen, this has been an honor to have you on. I've learned so much even from this short conversation, and it was just great to hear your story, and thank you for being so giving of your story to us and for sharing. For anybody who's looking to join your community, how can they find you? Where can we go click?
So you click on hajibasim.com. Do you put something below here at some point or something? Or
how does that work? I'll have everything in the show notes. So okay. All of your contacts, I'll share it in the show notes. But if in the meantime, I mean, anybody that's listening, they can just go as they are listening. They go to Instagram or whatever handles that you have, social media.
Oh, handles, yeah. So Instagram, it's just Haji Basim Music. Facebook, I don't know what that is. I got to figure it out because I had to get a brand new one. So, but it'll be in the notes below. So, yes.
I love it. This has been so much fun. You are so funny. I didn't even see this. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much, though. I appreciate you making time for us and for sharing.
Thank you as well. Thank you all. Hope you have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you. That's it on today's episode. It's truly an honor to serve each and every dreamer. Concrete Passions now provides targeted services to dreamers coming to the US of A. We assist you to successfully integrate. We are here to support you as you write your new chapter. Kindly check out our services in the link tree. Until next time, keep dreaming. Born and raised in the motherland, chasing a better life, story of an immigrant. Concrete pastures. Concrete pastures. Concrete pastures.